This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Do plough and CC. Plough on, guys. Thank you too much.
No, we didn't win the link by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolnia bouncer. We've been for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen of the Plough. I have the pleasure of introducing this week's podcast. I'm sat here in a balmy South London with a very good friend and somebody who I've seen quite a lot of this weekend. 3 days on the trot. You all know and love him. It's Drew Withers. How are you doing, mate?
Very good, Maxi. And 3 days is not enough. I wish I could spend a week with you. But yeah, as you said, it is quite balmy. It's a bit of a sweatbox in here at the moment. But I do love sweaty men. So now looking forward to getting in, stuck into it.
And you'll be glad to know that I have had a shower since the Saturday game, because I know you were worried on Sunday when I told you that I'd skipped that, turning up for the Pirates game.
I was. I was going to offer to do it for you. But yeah, I'm glad you have.
So
what's on today's show?
Today's show is jam-packed, actually. Mm. So we have all the usual segments. What will unfortunately be the last Pirates segment.
Yeah.
We'll have a run through of your Saturday and Sunday fixtures, some wins, some losses. There'll be a mystery quiz, which you know nothing about, but I'm very excited for, since I spent about an hour on it earlier. No, I'm like 15 minutes. Then we'll have your usual sections. Oh, as a big motorbike comes past the window, with Loves to Bat, Obsessed with Line and Length, and the awards. Fantasy cricket will be added in at a later date when that has been updated.
What do you do with a drunken ploughman? What do you do with a drunken ploughman? What do you do with a drunken ploughman? At the Dunnett Sports Ground.
Should we get stuck into parts?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the Pirates. The ship has sailed, unfortunately. We yesterday played in the regional final, the South London regional final.
So yeah, the structure of the competition is that you play within your region, but we were one of the best 64 teams at LMS in this country this year, and unsurprisingly, within those 64 teams, there are some pretty good players. We just had the bad luck of running into a couple of them on a hot streak, and a few of us not quite hitting our straps yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. I think the scouting report showed that they were going to be quite a good outfit, and it proved to be the case. So, unfortunately, we went down to the Royal Challengers Bangalore. I think they set us...
a lot.
212. One guy came in from retiring and was not out on 80.
I think, although he batted very well, there was my one dropped catch for the season, unfortunately, was in the big knockout game for the Pirates. Sheldon.
Crucial moment, possibly.
when he was on about 10. So I do still feel guilty about that, I'm afraid.
I'm not too sure if it would have made too much of a difference. But, so as I said, they set us 212. And it was over not too long after that when they put us into bat. We were all out for 49, I think.
I thought we were in trouble when two overs in, we were four wickets down. I can't remember quite what the final score was, but I do have some very vivid memories of an incredible batting performance by none other than Jordy Dhyanjender.
Are we mentioning that, are we?
the committee has ruled that it does have to be mentioned on the podcast. Okay. So I'm sure you'll hear about it in the coming weeks.
The head continues to grow. No. Well done, Jordan. No, it was a super effort. It was probably the most entertaining period of the day. He was the last man standing. Ended up hitting a nice 24 and did a lot of running. He was absolutely knackered by the end of it. But it was good entertaining and kept them out there a little bit longer than they thought they might. They may have been.
I tried to... So Umar had some friends from Germany down, and he had a job on explaining cricket to them for a start, and then explaining the difference between LMS and what we normally play. And then by the time Geordie was batting on his own, they were really confused, and even more confused when we were cheering every single run and misfield, and, you know, when the keeper threw the ball at the box that had fallen out of his own pants, and then we got 5 bonus points. They were super confused, and I said, "It's Schadenfreude, guys. That's all you need to know."
What does that mean?
for the non-German speakers amongst you, that means the joy at other people's misfortune.
Ah, right.
And then they understand.
And then they start laughing.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, so a disappointing way to end. We have both obviously played a lot of the games for the Pirates. We've been involved in some successes. There have been some really excellent individual performances. There have been some great team performances, from a sort of captaincy perspective, I know that Leo, me and Hector have all really enjoyed seeing some people grow who maybe haven't had so much competitive cricket to play. And we've also seen some of the best players at the club doing what they do and really, you know, selling themselves and showing everyone how good they are. And when we started this back in April, May. I think that's all we really hope for, and to come out of it with a trophy for winning our league and to get through to the regional finals, I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, it's a really big box tick there. Did a fantastic job, and you just mentioned them, but yourself, Leo and Hector have done a super job skippering and organising it all. Everyone loves playing for you guys, and yeah, again, well done and thank you. And a great season by the Pirates. We won our local league. We're pretty happy with that.
I'm running past the club dictator. Sorry, captain. There should be a Pirates of the Year trophy. It will be, of course, if approved, nautically themed. I think, in keeping with our very democratically run pirate ship, I think it will be done on player vote. That's the rumour going around.
Right.
So okay. Get thinking about who you want to put your vote in for.
Will it be done on a scroll?
It'll be done on a number of votes.
reference anyway. Thanks for that, Max. Anyway, yeah, that's that. So the Pirates will grow bigger and stronger next year. We move on, and there was 5 fixtures over the weekend. We had the first 11 playing at home on Saturday against Norwood Cricket Club. And with the match report, I'm going to send that over to Joe Hocking. So, Joe, please tell us how that went down.
So, we're here at the DSG with Duray, Liam Gray, and Rohan Poole after what turned out to be quite a comfortable victory. But there was a top point in our innings where, you know, could have slipped away from us. So Rohan, we'll start with you, because you went in quite a difficult spot at 4 after we'd lost a couple quick wickets, and really batted with a lot of discipline, and it was a really measured performance. What were you thinking when you went out to bat?
I was just thinking the pitch is doing all kinds of stuff, so try to play smart, because middle order we've got people that hit big, so I was thinking just try to be the anchor, don't give any chances. Play safe.
Excellent. So getting back to our bowling innings, which we probably should have started with. Duray, you opened the bowling in what turned out to be a masterstroke, to be honest, from the skipper. And that LBW that probably should have been given. And then...
Was given?
No, the run out. Rohan's run out. The LBW. So LBW appeal, massive appeal.
Yeah.
Batsman's ambling to the other end. Rohan picks it up. Yeah. Arrow, bullet. Bottom of middle stump.
Yeah, no, that was amazing, right? It set the tone for the game as well. So I got hit for a few runs the previous over, and then that LBW, which was a bit of a tough call, would have been there or thereabouts. But then Rohan, this guy's just ambling in, and he's shocked that he's been given out, but he's like still not in his crease. And that really set the tone, and the fielding today was just a level.
Yeah, the fielding was electric from the first over right up until the till we got that last wicket. It was a pleasure to be a part of a fielding side that on it from the get go.
Yeah.
And that much chat and so up for it all game. We ended up with 3 wickets, three really important wickets, and Liam, you for once this season seem to get a bit of luck with the bowling. There's quite a few catches. Two wickets were caught, or three?
think three, maybe.
Three.
Yeah.
Potentially not the better balls you bowled, as it often goes. But yeah, what was the thought behind opening with DeRay?
I just thought that these guys are going to go from the off. We know that. We know they're going to hit sixes. We know they're going to go for big shots. And I knew they wouldn't be expecting us to open with a spinner. And I knew that they wouldn't be expecting the spinner to come off after two or three overs, no matter how well he bowled. so they're just thinking, oh, we've got eight overs of spin to face now. So they're not just going to see off two overs. And they didn't. They went big from the outset. And then bowling me and Puff at the start, the thought was, they're not going to want to wait for slower bowling. It's going to be annoying for them to wait for it. And yes, it's worked out pretty well. I think I've bowled pretty well this season on the whole, but not got much luck. And today got three wickets, one off an excellent catch. Well, two off excellent catches.
Drew's catch was fantastic.
Whoa, yeah. Through the trees. And I think the batsman still went, you sure it didn't touch the tree?
And Rohan's catch at deep square leg.
Yeah.
Ron Anderson, former plough, absolutely belted the first ball that he faced off me. A bit of a half tracker. And yeah, nice to get a bit of luck.
Cool. So all in all, a good day for the first team. I think we're now top, right? After Mitcham losing. So all in all, a great day with Norwood scoring 164 off of not there in probably 28 overs, I think.
Something along those lines.
And then us chasing it down with five overs to spare and with five wickets.
A couple of other good batting performances as well. Max dug in, really did the hard yards up front. Nick O'Dowd, by his standards, like what he would probably describe as a scratchy innings, but like coming in at four down when we still needed over 100 runs, he's just got back foot punches.
Two massive sixes really helped kind of, you know, quicken
ease
up
the pressure a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. But the innings anchored by Rohan, who really did bat excellently and saw us home. So yeah, well done.
Plough on. Fucking right.
Yeah, well, we both played in that fixture. It was a tough game. It's always a tough game against those boys. They're really canny cricketers. Mm. They've all been around the block. All of them can bat. All of them can bowl.
Yeah.
And they don't give an inch.
They really can. From 1 to 11, they all bat the same, don't they? Hit it hard.
For some of those players who played in that twos game at the end of last year, where we ended up with two people in hospital with broken fingers, they went from 50 for 5 to 260 and then bowled us out for 70. The fella who came in,
I think, and it was 37, wasn't it?
Yeah, something.
something
that we won't mention. The guy who came in and hit 70 something off, I don't know, 40 balls, batted 10 for them this weekend. And yeah, I think that just showed the strength of that team that we played. I think it was an excellent win, an excellent team win. And I think we can't look past one man in particular, Rohan Paul, the better Paul, he has been called. He's so good.
Yeah, and you know, he's been mentioned already in the match reporter, and again now, that there'll be a few more mentions to come too, and for hopefully many years to come. But yeah, what an outstanding first 11 debut. Just a cool, calm and collected character, a real good head on his shoulders, and he showed that on Saturday with a very mature knock to get us over the line. So well done to him. Let's go to the other. There was actually three games on Saturday, and the twos didn't have a fixture, but there was a friendly 11 sent out to Edgware. And this is a report brought to you by Umar.
Hello, Plough. We're here at Watford Town Cricket Club, having just played against Edgware CC in a gripping match. The words best match I've played this season have been thrown around. I'm here with captain on the day, Steve Britto, for the Plough, and also Saj from the Oppo, Edgware CC, and also Siraj, who turned up late, wearing excellent creps and dubious outfit. We'll hear from all of them. We'll start with Steve Britto. What did you think of this performance?
I didn't think we batted very well, to be honest, only batting 30 of the 40 overs, but thought George and Dan did a pretty good job out there, just like trying to bat time and stuff like that. probably made a mistake at the toss. Quite excited to have a bat, put on a big score today. So yeah, probably a bowl first day in hindsight. But yeah, got to 115. Need a bit of luck at half time, don't you, to get over the line there. But yeah, bowlers did a fantastic job.
Yep. You mentioned George did a really great job of batting today. Tanner, talk us through your knock.
Well, despite the pitch looking very very good to bat on, it was actually tougher than anticipated. Very slow. Had to get forward as much as possible, but it was hard. The bowlers were bowling very well as well at the start and had a very nice leg spinner as well. Stuck in there as much as possible, but built a couple of partnerships with Elmo. And then, yeah, chipped one straight to Cal Corners just as I was getting going, which was frustrating. But the tail wagged as well with Dan, Sham, Oscar and Damo hitting a beautiful four with his new bat as well. We're about 30 short in the end, I reckon.
Thanks, Tanner. Saj, you must have felt quite confident at halftime after bowling some absolute heat. Left arm heat. Talk us through your bowling and then also let's talk about what your team chat was at halftime.
Yeah, the bowling was fun. It was fun. This is our home ground. We're used to it doing weird shit. but it was fun.
Understatement.
You and the other opener, you guys were a good challenge to bowl to because... usually what happens is people like just leave it or just don't play. You guys were like trying to attack me, so it was fun as a bowler. And obviously I came round the wicket to you because I knew...
Proper set me up.
Yeah. I put the leg side field out, I set up for a short one, and then I just bowled a 4-1 outside off, cut in. But you were batting really well and it was fun to bowl to you and your partner. I can't remember his name.
Chris.
But it was good fun. And when we came off, we were very confident, so confident that I said to the boys, and I take full responsibility for this loss. I said to them, we want to win this in 15 overs, 20, 20 if we want to be slow. So it was a friendly, we played league games for the last 3-4 months, so I thought, look, let's just have fun with it. I didn't change the game plan even when I went out to bat, and obviously it almost worked towards the end. Saga is our king of baseball, so like that guy, he just, yeah, whether I want it or not, he will smash anytime, which is sometimes frustrating as a captain, but he was amazing today. Suraj came in as a cameo and I thought they were going to take us home as they've done before, but Suraj had his own fireworks involved and wanted to get in the headlines, so I'll let you talk about that.
Well, so Thank you so much for that. So Brito, low score, it's bowling time, and we had a little bit of a chat, and can you talk us through your bowling strategy today?
I think we're a good side. We bat well and bowl well. We didn't bat well today, but generally we know what we're doing. We've got good bowlers that are pretty know what to do. Like, there's a good attack out there, there's five good seamers, there's Elmo who can bowl spin and George who can bowl offies as well, so it's just throw the dice and hopefully someone comes off. And like, you need early wickets to create pressure, and I think we got that today. And then there was a little partnership and you just about keep applying pressure, and when there's three wickets for 15 runs to win, like, you don't win many of those, but you hope to just keep applying a bit of pressure, mm-hmm, and things go your way, and that's what happened today. We're quite lucky in the end, I suppose. But if you keep bowling the ball in good areas, you kind of, things happen, don't they, in cricket?
Brilliant. Well, you're talking about applying pressure. Someone who opened the bowling today, and the Plough have been chatting about this guy's progression over this season. He has been a revelation. Sham, you bowled some serious heat today. Talk us through it.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you very much. Everyone bowled very, very well. And I'm very happy and satisfied with my performance. I'm still working on my line of length and getting better day by day.
Are you excited for the LMS final tomorrow?
Yeah, very excited for tomorrow. Yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Over to you in the studio.
Thanks for that, Umar. Thrilling stuff as always. Sounds like a close game down there, was it? I haven't actually looked at the scorecard before
close.
We started
recording. Yeah, that had a very good win.
Was this the one where they won with sort of 5 runs to spare?
That's right, yeah.
There was a lot of excitement as we were finishing off our batting innings. Mm. I'd missed a straight one at this stage and was holding my head in my hands, but I was reading the results coming in from the other grounds. And
that's a big win, yeah.
Another great team win, right?
Well, to defend 114 and... Yeah, in that sort of fashion is
a game
amazing.
Of two halves, would you say? Disastrous, on the disastrous side of the spectrum with the bat, and then sort of all-round brilliance in the field to sort of pull it back from that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, I mean, you can run through, most of the bowlers ended up picking up wickets, but I can see wickets for Sharm, can see wickets for Damos. Oscar picked up another couple, gunning for that bowling trophy.
The man to finish it off was none other than Dan Rumford. And we've actually got a little snippet to describe or talk us through that last ball from none other than Chris Butland. So, Chris, can you talk us through that ball from Dan Rumford?
Not exactly sure which category this fits in. Maybe it's a new one for moment of the week, champagne moment of the week. But having only put 114 on the board, getting the oppo eventually 9 down on Saturday, Bumford steaming in with one ball left in the over, first ball at the number 11, he executed the most perfect middle stump yorker, leaving the oppo batsman with no chance and bowling them out. It was a testament to all the hard work that's gone in on the bowl-off over the last few years as the perfect bowl-off delivery.
Beautiful. Love that. Well done, Bumford.
And great to see him continuing his comeback from broken finger at the end of last season. We haven't seen him as much as we would have liked to, but man's a good cricketer when he's available.
Do enjoy seeing him too. He's good to look at. Let's go to the other fixture. It was away at Esher Cricket Club, which...
I believe it's pronounced Esher.
Esher.
In this side of the hemisphere.
Okay, yes, I do apologise. They're miles away, weren't they?
It's deepest, darkest Surrey, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, right, that's that way. Anyway, I got it confused. Our man Yanni's going to take us through that report, so over to you, Big Yan.
And we won.
Hello, thanks for coming. Yanni here. I'm at Esher CC. We've come off the field in one of the craziest games in history. We had good shots. We had bad shots. We had unbelievable chat. We had terrible chat. We had shirtless umpires. We had a bride on the sideline. There is nothing this match didn't have. It's really hard to know where to start. I'm going to go to the skipper. Skipper, you lost the toss and sent us into bat. Tell us about it.
Yeah, unfortunately lost the toss for the first time in my career. Came into bat, opened up with Hansy. Decided we'd give ourselves a little platform, a few overs. And then the last ball of the openers, I decided to play a stupid drive, get myself out. Because bit of a dickhead. So I walked off and came out to umpire in a red shirt, pissing everyone off in the process.
And then he proceeded to umpire shirtless for an over. So
yeah, that was cracking. Needs must. Rig-based umpire
selection. Exactly. So not the greatest batting performance to write home about. A lot of poor shots. I'll mix it in with some good ones. Then we had a bit of a wag in the tail. Top score, Mr. Niraj Taylor. Oh, top score was actually extras, I believe. But anyway, top score from one of us, Mr. Niraj. Tell us about your batting performance there, mate.
Yeah, thanks, mate. What can I say, really? I felt like I was in seventh heaven out there. And best I ever felt out there in the middle. Probably blessings from Ricky Ponting, meeting the great man back in July. Felt like I was in really good nick after the first over, set up a score, saw the ball, played my plan, which was to play with positive intent, and first time I ever hit a cover drive, front of the wicket, and after 5 years, played a hook shot for six, so I'd probably say that was my champagne moment.
So definitely gave us something to bowl at, which brings us to the bowling performance, which was where things really got mental. Who do we want to start with there? Josh, did you want to start talking about that, mate?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a great start from our openers, it's got to be said. Yates, C&D and Gender. It is September, by the way.
Do you think...
Callum...
Do you think Yatesy has ever heard so many puns about his own name before?
No, I don't think he has. They were going through the Yates. It was the Yates escape. The flood Yates were open.
The flood Yates were open was definitely the highlight of the day for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great one from Trent. Callum got rid of one of their openers and then, well, Kersey came on at the other end and all hell broke loose. The first one was high, it was loopy, he's just about dug it out somehow. The second one was even higher. It was like the super moon you might have seen earlier in the week.
I got some waiting for that one.
And as it came down, he's just gone back to it. It's bounced within the crease. It's racked him on the pad. Nowhere to go. It's middle for Diddle. And Yanni Bavirs has collapsed behind the stumps.
It was probably the funniest dismissal I've ever seen on a pitch ever. So we were in a position where we kind of looked like the game was over.
It was about par.
It was par, but then they started to take a bit of control. But then Max Wright entered the game. Oh, firstly, I'd just like to say Callum, who apparently is injured and bowling off half a run-up, was still bowling absolute fire. So he was absolutely fantastic with the ball. But then, yeah, Max Wright, what the hell was that?
Sometimes you've got to spend the season behind the stumps to know what to do in front of the stumps, you know. I spent 4 months. I spent 4 months watching, you know, everyone how to do it, taking lessons from everyone. And yeah, I mean, 50 last week, 3 for this week, genuine all-rounder now. I'll be making sure my fantasy designation has changed next year. I mean, coming on, I think they needed about 20 runs to win for 4, and then got hit for a massive 6 that smashed the window of the clubhouse, and it wasn't looking good. And then I bowled a Scotty crap ball that basically wrapped low on the pad, and I intimidated the 12-year-old umpire into giving it out. and then we got them to
arms going.
And that's just to start with. And then we basically, I think they were 120 for 4. So they needed 10 runs to win with 6 wickets in hand. Skipper says, well, you just might as well keep bowling, not much point. And then the first ball, the second over, chipped it up. And who took the catch on that one?
Harry took the catch.
Oh, no, that was caught and bowled, that one. That was caught and bowled.
Oh, no,
it was me again.
Low and hard, and you took it.
And then so somehow it was then a hat-trick ball, which I think was unexpected. Geordie then came on at the other end, took another wicket. Geordie bowled beautifully today. Only went at one and over, which has really kept us in the game. If he'd been less tight, I think 3 of those 5 were wides as well. So
there you go. A close loss. We nearly snatched it from the jaws, but didn't quite get there on the end. Never enough runs on the board, but an amazing day out. And special mention to Hanzala Shafiq in his last game before he heads back. So best of luck to him. And yeah, plow on. Back to you in the studio.
So yes, that sounds like a tough, narrow loss. Couple of runs in it.
What an effort! Like, to from where they were, the other team were flying. They're 4 for 108, and they've chased them eight down for 130. Yeah. So, interesting little period. And I think
did everyone actually get a bowl in this game? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Fantastic captaincy work there.
Yeah. So Max Wright just seemed to be biding his time, and then just went bang and took 3. He's clock cricket.
He's a big game player. He only brings out his A game in the championship rounds. I think that's what we've learned about him.
Yeah.
What can't he do?
Yeah, but very. We'll talk about fantasy later, but maybe get him in your teams.
Yeah, so we're going to break up the match reports this week, and this is the mystery quiz, which Drew doesn't know anything about. Mm-hmm. But I, as some of you will know, unfortunately, we are going to be losing the great man sat next to me. And I decided, since I knew that he was going to be doing this podcast, that I would spend some time making a stats-based quiz on his own exploits and his time at the plough. So, without any further ado, please feel free to play along. Any questions he doesn't get right, you may write into the quiz or on the group chat as you feel required.
I will just quickly mention, I'm not dying, but I am heading home, unfortunately. I don't like to talk about it, but yeah, end of January I'll be gone, so yeah, that's that. But Max,
I just like awkward conversations, and I know you don't like talking about it, so that's the other reason.
Sip of that beer.
So yeah, the first question is, what do you want me to call it? The first option is With Us or Without You Baby. Well, the second option is Drew and Me Baby Ain't Nothing But Plowmans. I like that. We're going number two. Yeah, okay, yeah. Fine. So welcome to the Drew and Me Baby Ain't Nothing But Plowman's Quiz.
Very good.
So number one, I always felt you've been somewhat unfairly pigeonholed as a bowler at this club, but the stats tend to suggest otherwise. There's less than half a run's difference between your career batting average, the club's very own Ben Stokes, Tom Lonnon, and opening batsman, George Boughton. So, for a maximum of 3 points, if you get them in the right order, could you rank your batting averages from 1 to 3? So who has the highest, who has the second highest, and who has the third highest batting average?
I'd go Tom, myself, then George. I think Tom's is 36. I'll go there. I'm happy to lock that in.
Tom's batting average is 36, you sure?
Am I off? No, I'll put it in that order, though.
Tom. Well, I can tell you, you have 3 points.
Yeah, bang, bang.
But the batting averages are only actually Tom Lonnon 23.16.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. Drew Withers 23.06 and George Boughton 22.53. So good. A solid start. That's 3 out of 3 to start with.
Happy.
Number two, where does your career record 57 wickets have you currently, with 2 weekends to go, in the all-time wicket takers list of the club?
I'm answering that now.
Oh, currently.
So I have to a number on the list.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd go 28th.
Very close. 32nd. I'm afraid is the correct answer. But as a bonus question, how many does that leave you behind your great Aussie contemporary bowler, Chris Roden-Smith?
He got 50 this year, so I reckon only one.
That is correct.
Oh, yes.
You have snagged yourself a point. So that did pretty well. 4 out of 5 so far. You have been paying attention in your 2 years here. It's good to know. Okay. Now it starts to get a bit more tricky. Do you have a higher percentage of wickets bowled for the club or caught?
I'm going to say bowled, yeah. I think it's bowled.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. Oh. It's 42.11%. bowled and 52.66% caught.
Okay.
So you're good for a schnick.
Yeah.
Right. A couple more questions. What is your career high score for the plow?
Nah, I know that. That's 50 on the dot.
Excellent. But who was it against?
Putney.
Ah, oh, he's on a roll. And off how many balls?
29.
Ah, full 3 out of 3. You remember every ball?
I remember the last couple. That's
excellent. I don't know how you're doing at home, but Drew is absolutely smashing this.
I remember the lost balls. That's right. Yeah.
Do I need to ask your missus how much time you spend looking at the stats at night?
Oh, no. That's why she's not here at the moment, because there's cricket-involved stuff and she doesn't want to be a part of it.
So final question is a three-parter. As we approach your last match, I want to ask you about your very first game at the club. Who was it against?
Yeah, it was against Woburn.
Very good.
Away.
Who did you open the bowling with?
Oh, I'll say Matt Spencer.
That's incorrect. It's actually Lewis Wilby.
Oh, I've
been crying regularly for the club.
Lou.
And how many wickets did you get?
I got 3. Yeah,
very good. Okay, that's you have been paying attention. You've done very well. I'll just collate the scores quickly. So, I can tell you that you, on your Plowman's quiz on Drew and Me Baby Ain't Nothing But Plowman's, you managed a total of 9 out of 12. That's a solid 75%.
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
Cheers.
And I just wanted to, I enjoyed making that quiz. I always try and have a quiz on my sleeve when I come. But I wanted to say it's been fantastic. I won't be there the last weekend of the season. I'm unfortunately working. So this is my thank you to you for what you've done over the last 2 seasons. You've been a great addition to the club. Your bowling's always threatening, and with the bat you can do some damage. And I'm just going to sign off by saying 37 matches, 34 maidens, 57 wickets at 16.86, 369 runs at 23 with the bat, 150, 24 catches and 2 runouts with 2 weekends to go, which I'm sure means 4 more games of cricket.
Yeah.
How far ahead? Do you want to end the season ahead of Chris Roden-Smith? I think that's...
Oh, no.
Any goals left for the last couple of weekends?
I love Chris. I don't want to finish ahead of him. I just want to make sure I finish ahead of Geordie. That's all I want to do. Thanks for that, Max. That was great. That was really nice. I think, I'll definitely have 3 games left. I'm not sure about that last Sunday, because that Saturday night's got the potential to be one of the...
the big ones.
one of the largest. So, yeah, we'll play that one by ear. But, it's crazy how quickly it all goes. So, looking forward to the last few weekends and getting a few wins and hopefully a league win as well.
And thanks for gritting your teeth through all of that, because I know you hate talking about yourself.
Love that, mate. All right, back onto the match reports. We had 2 Sunday friendlies. The first one was at home to Merton Cricket Club. Wasn't a good day at the DSG on Sunday.
I believe in total there were only 100 runs scored across a Pirates game and a home Sunday fixture.
Not ideal.
So hopefully this is a quick podcast report.
It's Stephen Britto, so you know it will be. So let's hear from him now. Britto.
I'm here at 3 minutes to 6 on Sunday, which is never a good time to start a podcast. Overview of a game where Ploughmans have lost by circa 200 runs versus Merton CC. Having, I believe we won the toss, Crane?
No, we lost it.
We lost the toss and bowling. Club stalwarts, Bolshort and London started nicely, but unsuccessfully, keeping the runs down, but not providing any wickets to be 18 for no loss, I think, off the first 10. We then toured away with Carl getting a wicket and Mo getting one, but sadly couldn't accrue any more until drinks came and went. Tried to change it around a bit. No one really bowled well until Tom and Bolsh came back. Actually, special point out to Josh Kerr for his first run out. Nice little bit of work there, extra cover. To run out quite a set batsman. They continued to toil away. Bush and Lonan took 7 for 69 between them, but as what happens on a Sunday, if you do that late, obviously gives them a good score. We then had a quick turnaround at tee. None of us batted really well in the top 5, I'd say. Josh hung around a bit, to be fair to him, but we were 19 for 6 at one point, and then all out for 62, I think. Not a great day all round. If it was a test match, we'll probably be following on. Plough on, as people say.
Thank you, Stephen. Short and sharp. I like it. So, unfortunate result there. We move on. The other fixture was away at Ripley Cricket Club. And let's hear from Joe Hockings again. What a pleasure. Over to you, Joe.
Okay, so here we are, quite lovely Ripley Cricket Club, after what was quite a hard-fought victory in the end for the Plough today. Standout performances. Going to start with the better-looking brother of Roden Smith, Christopher. Mick, so first game for the Plough, what were your thoughts when you turned up today? Like, did you envisage things going as well as they did for you, or were you somewhat doubtful?
Pretty doubtful. I wasn't expecting to be able to bowl, to be honest, throwing my back out about 2 weeks ago, and I've been living off pints and painkillers for the last 2 weeks. So I was just stoked to be able to take the field and be able to jog, to be honest. Batting was good fun, and being able to actually bowl was superb. I was so happy with that.
So you came to the crease with George. You guys back together?
Yeah.
After I got out, put on probably about 50 together. Not sure, but George batted. This is the first time I've seen you bat. Looked pretty good. Tell us about your innings.
Well, I think the reason we're laughing, Joe and I enjoyed possibly the slowest bowling we've ever faced before, and trying to wait for the ball, not to try and twat it every ball was tough. But we stayed in there when Joe got out. Mick came in, I think, a bit of a surprise compared to some of the stuffy players at Sydney, some of the quicker bowling. Wasn't quite like that. But we got going, we got a good partnership going, and hopefully set a bit of a platform for the lads in the end to come in, and we got up to 214, which was, I thought, a really good effort.
Joan Rivers came in, and I think he hit 24 off not very many, and that really got us up to, what, 214, I think we ended up scoring. So Liam, you opened a bowling, and again we're in the wickets. How was that?
A bit stiff and sore, to be honest, after playing yesterday. That was a bit of an emotional one, and then the 3-hour journey that it took us to get here, all cramped in the back of Dr. Murch's car, knees up round our chin,
no AC because of fuel economy, refusing to turn the AC on to get more miles per gallon.
Berlin hip hop blaring. So we were all pretty stiff when we got here, and it was a very warm one. Good choice to bat first, I think. Definitely a tough spell to get through.
Yeah, and you ended up with 3 wickets, so 6 for the weekend. So back in the wickets, which is obviously good for you. Finish the season on a high. Mick, is this the first time you've played under your brother as skipper?
As skipper. Yeah.
So, what did you think of him?
I think he did well. I've skippered for a couple of years, and captaining in a chase is always stressful, especially when you're doing it in the heat and it's a close game. So, I think he did well. Yeah,
decent.
Except for when he was making me go mid-wicket to mid-wicket in the boundary for 10 overs there. That was a bit rough.
Got to get your snaps up, mate. Yeah,
I got my 10,000 there.
Canelo and Barron will love it.
What did you finish with? What were your figures? 4 for 31. 34.
Yeah. Good debut, that.
Decent, isn't it? 4 okay. wickets. Yeah,
it's always good to get the stumps.
More wickets
than
I've got this season. So chasing, so the Oppo were chasing 214, I think, and they end up about 30 runs short. Looked at one point like they might cruise it, to be honest, with they had a couple decent bats in, and Mick got one of them out, and then Liam got the other, and then we ended up winning quite comfortably in the end, four overs to spare.
So
shout out to the Oppo as well, batted very well all the way down. On a great game for us today, a good tea, I think.
Great tea, but best tea.
Liam's is in the fridge.
Great tea. Umpired both ends
after
70 overs.
After umpiring a junior game today, so he's umpired nearly 100 over 105 overs.
Amazing.
So fair play to him.
And despite him giving close run outs, LBs, and everything. A few of us still gave him a bit of a spray on the field and were moaning about him in the changing room after the game. So.
Bloody Australians.
Nice one.
Cool. All right, I think that's it. That's a wrap. Plough on.
Great weekend.
Thank you for that, Joe. Good win. Great to see two rats out there on the pitch. Interesting to see Chris being alphaed by his younger brother as well. Apparently he's got a bit about him with the ball.
Yeah, right. I'll try and keep him over here. That was all the match reports. And that leads us into the weekly rewards. I will discuss Loves the Bat, Obsessive Line and Length, and Third Man Award. So, Maxi, let's go through Loves the Bat first.
Several interesting nominations. Not the usual suspects, I think. George Tunnicliffe. A very gritty and determined 27 off 59, can't be overlooked. And then the following day, 63 off 46. So he spent a lot of time in the middle there. But
polar opposite innings, aren't they?
I think that better than a runnable striker is going to hurt him this week in his second attempt there.
Had to be mentioned.
Secondly, Tom Elmsley, granite nose, 3 off 26.
Yeah, we love that.
Love to see that. He's got a very large front dog that he likes to stick out there when he's feeling obdurate. and next, surprisingly on the list perhaps, is a certain Mr. Wayne Kerr. 1 off 24 opening the batting against Merton. That is heroic.
I watched most of that innings. I was super impressed by Wayne there, or Josh Kerr. Saw the shine off the ball. Unfortunately, no one else could do anything with it. But he was very solid in defence.
And I was, there might be a new role for him there, I reckon. Very impressed. So well done, Josh.
There's always room for a grafter at the top of the order, especially in friendly cricket, where people do sometimes come with a hangover and collapses can happen very quickly. So yeah, keep working, Josh. Great to see the effort that you're putting in. But I think it's an open and shut case this week. One man on his ones debut, age 15, bowled four overs a heat, and then went out to bat at four. The first slip kept telling him that he was playing schoolboy cricket and that he wasn't going to hurt them. But his 41 off 75 balls...
not out, yep.
...red certainly did hurt them, because we won the game.
Yep.
Convincingly. And that in no small part was down to Rohan Paul and his fantastic knock this weekend. So congrats, well, mate. Are you agreed?
Yeah. Well, we just had the wanker. Then we had Rohan, who was the anchor. Super. Unbelievable knock. As I mentioned earlier, just such a mature head on him. So well done to him. Yeah. He's got the loves to bat.
We're discussing a whip round for him next year, aren't we?
If you're
playing,
get the hat out.
Playing in the league with Rohan, it's going to be £20 match fees, so that we can give Rohan his 100 quid to make sure he sticks around.
Cough it up. Off over to Obsessed with Line and Length. Firstly, our man Geordie, 1 for 6 off 5. Lovely return there. Callum Daly, good to see him back. 2 for 5 off 4. It's not a bad day out. We'll mention Max Wright again, because I know he'd love to hear it. So 3 for 22. Well done, Maxie. The two old faithful, the old guns, Bush, 4 for 35 off 7. Great to see him back. And Tom Lonnon as well, 3 for 34 off 7. How good was it to see both those in tandem yesterday?
Oh, fantastic. Are you more happy to see someone coming off the back of a honeymoon, or someone from a lot 4 month stretch commentating on cricket in the Caribbean?
Yeah, well... yeah,
where would you rather be?
It's a good question, but knowing what Bush did on his honeymoon and seeing some of the pictures and that looked pretty good. So it's hard to, that's a hard, tough one to call there. But I think both their bellies have grown slightly.
It looks like some food has been consumed.
No, they're both looking great. And obviously performing great too. So well done to them. Great to see them.
And we've missed the younger, the more attractive, the better CRS, MRS. I'm not actually sure what his first name is.
We'll go with...
Mark?
Michael. Or Matt?
Mavis?
Maybe it's Max.
Anyway, he bowled 4 for 32, if we're going for the Australian way, of 4.4 overs. First game for the club. It's going to be hard to beat, isn't it? Especially when your brother goes begging with no wickets.
Yep. No, I'm in agreement. Let's give it to him.
Yeah.
One game wonder could be. We don't know if we'll see him back playing, but...
And an average, if my maths is correct, of 8 for the plough.
Yeah, well done. Nah, MRS, fantastic. And so good that those two got to play a game together. I know Chris's parents are over here as well, and they're doing a little trip over to Italy to see the in-laws. So I think it's a fantastic time for him and his family at the moment. And what an occasion to play a game of cricket with your brother over in the UK. So great stuff. Well done, MRS.
Yeah, congrats, bud.
Then finally, the third man award.
Let's just wait for that to pass. Got a noisy motorbike on this road.
I think there's a motorcycle meet tonight or something. Yeah, I'm actually running late for it.
You got your leathers ready?
Yeah, I'll pull them out. I borrowed them off Suri. Third man award. We saw that Yanni was quick onto it yesterday. Took the video of Carl Wahlberg taking a catch.
Ah, that's a screamer. I mean, I saw it live. I think you did too.
I did, yeah.
And I said to him at the time, it's hard to pick up cricket and the skills of cricket later in life, but the one thing you have to do is not be afraid of the ball. Mm-hmm. And you can see from that video, he's diving backwards and class that ball. He is not afraid of it. He wants that ball.
He wants it.
So great to see him coming on. That's going to be a strong shout. What else have we got?
We had a run out in the Ripley game from Niraj to Grazer. Both calm under pressure. Executed the run out, so that was very good. CRS, we mentioned him before, but took a crucial catch at Cow Corner in the game just mentioned. So he's got safe as house's hands.
Grazer, bloody good catch in the slips.
Yeah, we have to mention that. Was it his?
No, it wasn't. The jury isn't even out. The jury's convicted him. He stole it off Sean McGowan, but his bucket hands, ripped it out of the air. It was fantastic to see. And I suspect when his run as first team captain comes to an end, you will not prize him out of the slips. That will be his position. It. He's 6 foot six. He's got levers and buckets. He's just going to pluck everything out of the air there for years to come. Yeah. So great to see. Retirement planning.
Absolutely. And what a weekend from Grazer. Just quickly, 6 wickets, crucial wickets as well. Probably, and he's mentioned himself too, hasn't had the luck that he would have liked this year. That seemed to change on the weekend, and he bowled super well, did a huge job for us up top in the first 11, and obviously followed that on up in Ripley. So well done to the big Earl.
Yeah,
great weekend.
Two great performances. Well done, mate.
And lastly, in the third man award, we'll mention Rohan. This was the first wicket to fall on the weekend.
I happen to think it's another open and shut case.
Oh, yeah, it is. It is.
We were slightly biased because we were playing in the game. But set the scene for me.
Well, I was at mid-off, so I was directly behind the stumps. And he was at a deep square leg and sort of run around. They'd gone for a second.
They looked at him and thought, this is a kid. There's definitely two.
Yeah.
And the next thing you knew, off stump flew out the ground.
Yeah, the call's coming to bowler's end, and he's just absolutely winged it. And it was not missing.
No.
Not missing. The guy at the non-striker's end failed to put his bat down, was quite unhappy with the decision.
I think it was more embarrassment
rather
than genuinely thinking he wasn't out.
Yeah, but got the direct hit, and that really set the tone for us. So
we were away. Yeah. That was first over of the game, second over, and we were flying after that. And then Dew's got the other opening batsman in the next. You know, this game's about momentum. Those two guys who we got in that same over, first the run out, then the LBW. They have destroyed teams for a long time in this league. And in terms of a game-changing moment, I think that was the only league game, and that run-out had a massive effect for us. So I'm going for Rohan.
And I think that's... And probably as a club as a whole, that's where we differentiate at the moment. Our fielding. I think, and all the training we've been doing and whatnot, our fielding's just spot on. Everyone seems to be switched on. And it can win you games.
Yes, and that brings us on to fantasy cricket for this week. Yanni, play that jingle.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy cricket?
Thank you, Yanni. Yes, and welcome to the fantasy section of the pod. So, it's been a big week in the fantasy. Only two weekends left to go now. Things have changed. I'm looking at the table here, and the lead of Leon Parks over Matt Spencer has shrunk to 584 points. Matt Spencer having a massive weekend, pulling in 777, and a slightly subpar weekend from Leon means that gap is now actually achievable, down from somewhere near 1,000 points earlier in the season. So by my calculations, Matt has pulled in 312 points on Leon this week. And if we were to see a similar swing over the last two weekends, that would actually result in Matt Spencer winning this year's fantasy competition. So there's still lots to play for between first and second. Third place still, Jessica Earle. And in the team of the week goes to Niraj Taylor with an excellent score of 972. Well done, mate. Player standings, your top threes, top of the pile with the batting is myself with 1,846 points. Sean McGurn, 1,273. Stephen Britto, 820. Bowlers, Drew Withers still on top with 1,001 points. Chris Roden-Smith second with 765. Lewis Wilby, 748 points. In the all-rounder section, it's quite tight. James Barron has snuck on top, even though he's only played about two games. 915 points. Duray Pretorius, 89 points for the week, and that keeps him second on 811 points. Leo Connolly, he's done on 767 points, but that's still an excellent haul for the season. With the keepers, your top keeper this year so far is Suri Pullaboiner, but 63 points behind him is Leon Parks, and Michael Ainslie is in third place with 413.
So that's your fantasy roundup for the week. It's going to be exciting going into the trophy rounds, and I hope you're all still having a look at your team. I suspect that most of you have given up, apart from the top 10, maybe. Keep going, guys. There's only going to be one name engraved on the trophy this year. I think it's probably going to be Leon or Matt Spence, but you never know. Funny things have happened. Play your triple captains. All right, guys, back to the studio.
Thank you for that, Max. Interesting into things coming up by the looks, or by the sounds. Got another little quiz now. So on the last pod I did, we came up with a little game called Guess the 11. So basically, it's what this 11 that I'm about to mention has in common. So it could be absolutely anything. It could be they all have the same first letter in their name or something like that. But for this 11, and Max, I'll put it over to you, and then if you can't get it, then we'll put it over to the listeners, and please let me know your answers. But what two things does this 11 have in common? What two things does this 11 have in common? And the 11 is Steve Britto, DeRay Pretorius, Siri Polaboyna, James Tassado, Leon Parks, Tom Lonnan, Paul Hines, Nick Ridgway, Adam Barraclough.
No idea.
Freddie Mills and Nico Dow. What two things? So it could be quite niche, but all these have two things in common. Any idea?
Well, they're all foreign, for a start. But that, I don't, and that's not my final answer.
Leon Parks isn't.
Oh yeah, that's true. Leon is definitely English. Probably Nick Ridgway as well. I don't know if he's got any. Struggling here. What else? They've definitely all captained the club. They haven't all made hundreds. They've all taken wickets for the club. I'm struggling here. There's a lot that these guys have in common, but what they don't have in common with two other people. Okay, I'm gonna go with.
Well, I made my last. The last one I did of this was too easy, so this is a little bit more of a challenge. So you have to think outside the box, maybe a little bit. But yeah, what do you think?
Do I get a clue if I get the first attempt wrong?
Okay, one clue is it's nothing to do with bowling.
I think they have all kept wicket for the club and taken a catch whilst keeping.
That's incorrect. The second part, nothing to do with keeping either. But obviously some of them are keepers, so maybe it's something to do with what keepers might do. But that is incorrect. So we'll put it over to all you listeners out there. What two things do that 11 have in common?
I bet you that Matt Spence is going to get this within about 10 seconds of it appearing on the pod.
Anyway.
He's a bit of a stat worm for the club, isn't he?
Yeah. So let us know in the chat or send your answers to hello@ploughmancc.com. Any other business? Yanni?
Any other business?
Yeah, so I guess the big news this week is that is the last time we can all convene on a Thursday night, play a bit of cricket, well, meet under the guise of playing a bit of cricket and actually just have a beer with our mates. It is quite dark these days and a bit cold by the time the nets finish. But
although I'm saying that, summer's just beginning this week. It's ridiculous, the weather.
Good. Let's hope we're all having a beer in the sun, and I think it would be remiss of us not to mention Benny Cobbett, DeRay, and all the other people, but particularly Nets Daddy Cobbett, who have put in so much hard work in trying to improve the basic skills, those one percenters that you like to talk about that make us better as a team. They have done a fantastic job this year. And it was really nice to read Liam after he took that catch on Saturday in the group saying about how much he felt he'd improved. There were some other Andrew Cosgrove,
Leo Niebuhr, everyone's
Carlos Vibes taking a screamer. I've seen him working away. It makes a real difference, guys, and both of us wanted to really thank all of you for your hard
well
work.
Done, thank you very much. And not just the coaching side of things, the coordination and running the Nets, it's not an easy thing to do, so thank you to all those that have helped, and yeah, it's the final time for this season, this Thursday night at the DSG. See you down there. Anyway, let's move on to the last discussion topic, and that'll be previewing this weekend's fixtures. We've got five teams going out, two on the Saturday, and then three friendly 11s on the Sunday. So, Max, what's going on with the Saturday games?
Well, big game. The ones, it's all on the line. It's balls to the wall time. We have to beat Angelos CC if we are serious about getting promoted and about winning this division. And we will be playing at King George's Playing Fields in Lower Morden, not far from my old stomping ground. It's a nice ground. Pitch is a bit dodgy, and it'll be a big game there. They're eighth currently. We had a good game against them with a big win, runs for DeRay and McGurn, from what I remember, and that'll be a biggie. And the twos are at home to London Welsh at the DSG.
Finally getting a home game at our home venue.
Exactly.
Which hasn't happened for a while for the twos.
Matt Spencer, Skippering.
Yeah, change his name.
What a good job he's done as well.
Yeah.
I know Lon started the season, but fairly early on it became clear that he wasn't going to be around for too long. And if you can't always have successful seasons, and I think we all know that the twos can't go up anymore, but if you look at the improvement that's come through in that team, I think that says a lot about the leadership that Matt has brought. He's played really well himself. And it's great to see the club developing and the twos, the strength and depth and the performances every week getting better and better. So third this year, title next year. That's what I'm thinking.
And the enjoyment that all those guys are getting playing under Spence as well has been second to none. So, yeah, well done. Hopefully, this is their last game, I think.
Maybe.
Yeah, possibly. I'll have to double check that. But go well this weekend. And then on to the Sunday friendlies. The first one will be at home, the only home game on Sunday. That'll be against Cricketers Cricket Club. So I dare say they'd be okay at cricket, if that's what they're called. But that will be skippered by Max Wright.
And we know what he does when he's skippering.
And this could be, I'm not too sure what his plans are for the last weekend, but it might be the last time that he skippers for a little while, because he is heading... Well, to my neck of the woods next year. He's moving over to Melbourne in Australia, which is very exciting. So a person that has done an incredible amount of work behind the scenes, entering all the fixtures, entering all the scores, doing website stuff, the Instagram, taking photos. He does an absolute mountain of work, Max.
When we lost James Tisato, I remember some of us sitting down and saying, how is this going to work? And the answer, of course, was Max Wright. But I don't think we saw that before, and it's been great how he's taken on some of the mantle of TIS in terms of the organisation. It's been split about a bit more, I think it's fair to say, but he's definitely been one of the driving forces.
Absolutely.
And it's been great to see his personal performances.
Yeah, for sure.
And the returns he's been getting recently are a testament to the work he's been putting in. We will miss his GoPro excerpts.
Yeah.
But maybe you two can send us a picture in a Melbourne bar whilst you're watching the Plough results come in.
We definitely will. No, huge boots to fill. So what up, Max? You'll be missed for your time. Your time away. And we hope it all goes well.
And then I'm looking here at another Sunday friendly at London Fields. I think that's Hackney. We went that far east. But it says there's a certain D. Withers skippering. You looking forward to that one?
I am. Great bunch of guys. It's actually the first time I'll ever play with Damon Greeny, which I was so excited about. Yeah. I thought that was the case, but I went through every single fixture I've played and I have not played with Damon. So I'm really looking forward to that. But as I said, yeah, great bunch of fellas. We'll get out there to London Fields, hopefully have a win, and then, celebrate duly after that.
And the final fixture is at Bromley Common, a ground we know well. lovely batting deck. I heard Benny Cobbett requested this one the moment the fixture list was made. Leon Park skippering, he runs a tight ship. It's going to be a good game there. They're always...
You're out there on Sunday, aren't you?
Yeah, yep. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, that's the end of my season as well this year. So hopefully I get to round it off with some runs.
Yep.
But I'll be equally happy watching Leon Park score a massive double ton.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if you could both do that in the one game, that'd be great. But yeah, what a season you've had, Max. So unfortunate that you won't be there for the last weekend. But yeah, hopefully you can just finish it off on the way you've been going all year. You've been outstanding with the bat, and then bloody annoyingly to some, so good with the ball as well. You just can do absolutely everything, and then you know, taking the catches also. So what a year you've had. Hopefully you can finish off in style this weekend.
Thanks a lot, man, and I will try and make it down for a few beers after work for your leaving do on the Saturday.
Oh, yeah, we'll see. Here we go. There's plenty on that Saturday night, that's for sure. All right, I think that's all we've got time for.
Yep.
Max, thank you. Thanks for coming over.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to these pizzas.
Beautiful. All right, goodbye.
This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Do ploughman CC. Plough on, guys. Thank you too much.
No, we didn't win the league by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolney bouncer. We've been for six, so...
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.